You're listening to SBS News.
Paris Aristotle, thank you so much for joining SBS World News.
Pleasure. Glad to be here.
Firstly, how is the Afghan community amongst the people that you've spoken to holding up in the wake of what's happened?
Well, the community leaders and representatives that I've been dealing with have just been extraordinary in terms of how dignified they've been, how thoughtful they've been when raising these issues with myself and others in government. And their concern for their community is palpable. Their distress is very real and raw, yet they are totally focused on what they can do to constructively help to bring more people to safety from Afghanistan. And so it's been a real credit to them and bodes extraordinarily well for the future in terms of our ability to settle the members from that community really well and for them to become a part of the Australian community more generally.
What measures will be put in place to help them cope with the level of trauma that many have experienced and are escaping from?
Well, Australia has some of the best settlement services in the world. So there'll be general support in helping them orient their way into the Australian community, practical assistance to establish themselves in homes and housing, getting children into school. That will be done by settlement services providers. We have probably one of the best and most highly developed trauma and torture rehabilitation programs anywhere in the world, supported by the Commonwealth government and state governments. Those services are already marshalling their resources to be available to people who are arriving to help them deal with their experiences of trauma and persecution, and certainly the sense of loss and grief that they'd be carrying. In addition, there are migration services around the country, NGOs that provide legal assistance to refugees, who are also providing assistance to people to deal with one of their most urgent, stressful needs, which is to make applications to bring other family and loved ones that were left behind in Afghanistan. So between the government's effort at a Commonwealth level, the state government efforts, the non-government sector, and as I mentioned at the beginning, the Afghan community themselves, they've been quite remarkable. And I should also add, the interest and offers of assistance from the wider Australian community has been absolutely overwhelming. And I'm sure many, many people in the community are extremely hopeful that they're going to be able to play a part in supporting Afghans to settle here in Australia. And that's just a wonderful testament to the Australian spirit.
What is the level of need as you now understand it?
Well, the level of need is extreme. So people will have fled in very dangerous, unstable and violent circumstances. Often they made multiple attempts to get to the airport and were stopped by Taliban. They were fearful of reprisals against them if they had been working for Australian government forces or in positions such as women's activists, human rights activists, journalists and so forth. So they've been living with a great deal of uncertainty and, as I said, in violent and unstable conditions. So their trauma will be very, very raw. It's not so much that we are unused to dealing with that kind of trauma, but the recency of their experiences and the desperateness that they feel about family left behind and the way in which the country is travelling at the moment makes life very, very tough for them. On top of that, though, they're arriving in the middle of a global pandemic, so they have to go into quarantine. There are restrictions on movement even after quarantine. Children transitioning into school will be more challenging and more difficult. And so there are a lot of features about this response to this disaster that haven't existed in previous responses, and that's as a result of COVID-19. So there are multiple stresses at play here. There are multiple issues that we have to consider in the way in which we're designing and applying these services, and the intensity of them will be great as well. In addition to that, the wider Afghan community that already exists in Australia is feeling a great deal of trauma and concern. Many who had very traumatic experiences, including of torture historically, those experiences are now resurfacing, and their feelings of distress and post-traumatic stress disorder are now becoming issues that they require assistance with, whereas previously they had managed to suppress them or get on with life without having to deal with them. So things have sprung and in many respects exploded when it comes to the degree of trauma right across the community.
Just doing a rough calculation about the number of people who managed to get on an evacuation flight and hearing about the floods of applicants making their interests known to their local member, have we already surpassed the 3,000 initial humanitarian places? And how many do you expect will have to be made available this financial year?
Look, we haven't surpassed those places. We still have those 3,000 places to fill. And the Prime Minister and the Minister have stated very clearly that 3,000 is the minimum or the floor and not the ceiling. And therefore, they are committed to going well beyond that figure. It will depend on our ability to process applications, either in country or in neighbouring countries. But there's a very clear commitment to go well beyond those 3,000 places, along with these cases that have been evacuated now. Remember, many of the people being evacuated were Australian citizens as well, so they wouldn't ordinarily be included in the humanitarian program as well. I'm confident we will go past that figure. And of course, there is an urgent need for us to continue to do more and as much as we can, including in the years to come. And I think the Prime Minister has also said publicly that if the government considers that it needs to increase the overall size of Australia's humanitarian program, then it's prepared to do so. But that will be a matter for government down the track.
Do you know how many people have applied for a visa under that 3,000 places set aside so far?
No, that process for application hasn't really begun yet. There would be a lot of visas that were granted where people were unable to get to the airport and therefore still remain in Afghanistan and will be probably be looking to either depart Afghanistan if the Taliban government allow international flights, or they may seek to go elsewhere and then come to Australia. And part of this exercise that the council will be looking at, along with other NGOs and migration advice agencies, is how to get the applications lodged in a coherent way. It's really important because in situations like this, unscrupulous people try to exploit the vulnerability of the community. In many cases, I've heard of people offering to fill out applications for $8,000 and that they would guarantee a visa. In one case, I heard $15,000. It doesn't cost anything like that. And so it's really important that we put these programs in place as quickly as possible so that we can reassure the community they'll receive that assistance and to prevent any of them from being exploited.
We've heard complaints about the humanitarian visa application process, that it's too complicated. In some cases, people haven't been able to submit the right paperwork or the file size is too big. They're having a lot of trouble getting through the bureaucracy. Is that going to be streamlined?
Certainly the department right now is working on how they will have those processes applied in the future. Whether there's any adaptations that need to be made or changes that need to be made, they're looking into all of those issues now. You have to remember the humanitarian application process to date, with respect to evacuees and so forth, was happening in an incredibly chaotic, unstable environment where the main objective was to get some form of visa to people so that we could move them from the country into another country and then subsequently onto Australia or the US and Canada. So I'm not surprised that it's been a bit convoluted and confusing for people, and one of our tasks will be to smooth that process out and to ensure that it can be implemented with much greater clarity and confidence for everyone concerned.
Paris Aristotle, what about cases where people with Australian visas who were evacuated from Afghanistan have ended up in another country? They were rescued effectively by another country. In one example, a family of an Afghan interpreter who was killed serving with Australia is currently apparently in Texas. How will they get to Australia, and will it be difficult to now bring them to the country that gave them the visa?
I imagine all of the countries are still coming out of the emergency evacuation period and chaos. I do know that countries like Australia, the US, New Zealand, Canada, the UK are talking constantly about how to do that. They supported each other in the evacuation process throughout, and I'm sure there will be ongoing dialogue between those countries to try and smooth out and iron out some of those issues that would have occurred, those anomalies that would have occurred as a result of just the sheer urgent pace with which they were implementing the evacuation.
The Home Affairs Minister has suggested that regional resettlement is really important as part of this process. Will it be mandatory, do you think, for some of these refugees to relocate to regional areas?
No, I don't think it will be mandatory for people to relocate into regional areas. Remember, with the evacuations and these initial visa grants, they were prioritised for people who already had established links in Australia. So, I believe, and I'm sure the minister believes, that people will go to where their established links are in order to be supported and to assist them in their process of settling in Australia. In the future, regional and rural settlement is a really important function. There are significant numbers of Afghan people who live in areas like Bordertown, in Rockhampton, in Murray Bridge. They work in agriculture, they work in the meat industry, they have established themselves really well in rural and regional areas. So that will continue to provide a really important avenue. It will also provide employment opportunities for people in the community, in those communities, and for those employers to find workers as well. I think one of the really important differences here, which goes to the question of this being beneficial for the Australian community as well as for the Afghans, is that in years gone by, for example, with the Syrian and Iraqis, or even after the Vietnam War, there weren't labour shortages in Australia. Whereas at this point in time, industry is crying out for more labour in order to rebuild after the effects of the pandemic. And so, given the industriousness of the Afghan community, their willingness to work incredibly hard and to work in industries where we have shortages, not only does it end up being an incredible benefit for them to find sanctuary and safety here in Australia, but it makes a fantastic contribution to the wider Australian effort to rebuild the economy, grow rural and regional areas, and generally strengthen the nation as a whole.
We are hearing instances of partner visa applications from 18 months, 2 years ago, just being trapped in some kind of backlog. As you've been briefed about the current situation, are you aware that there is a significant backlog of people who've been trying to reach Australia who are partners or family members? And will they now be able to be rolled over into this humanitarian program?
There certainly has been a backlog of cases. There's often a backlog of cases in humanitarian and family reunion claims. I know that is an issue that is being discussed at present. It's an issue that I've raised. It's an issue that many people have raised from the community. And the department is looking at all of these sorts of issues and options for how we can streamline processes and maximise the opportunity to resettle as many people out of Afghanistan as we possibly can. So I'm hopeful that in the very near future, the thinking that's necessary to go into addressing the issues such as that will have been able to take place, and we'll get good resolution to those sorts of cases.
Paris Aristotle, you've had such a lengthy engagement with this issue, with different groups from across the world trying to reach Australia, with the Syrian refugee population, with other refugee populations. What's your message to the rest of Australia about how Australian people need to embrace these Afghan visa holders when they arrive and help them to navigate a new country and a new reality?
One of the most important things for people to recover from experiences like this is to be accepted and to have a sense of belonging. And so the extent to which the Australian community can wrap their arms around these people, let them know that we want them to be here, that we're glad that they're here, that we're going to care for them and take care of them, and that we're going to provide them with the opportunity to be a part of everything that we've built here, and that they should be able to prosper along with their families into the future. Any gesture towards that sort of thing is an incredible thing to provide to people in these circumstances, and it's one of the first steps to recovery. And interestingly, you don't have to be a deeply experienced trauma specialist or settlement provider or doctor or lawyer or anything to be able to offer that. Any one of us can offer that degree of compassion and that kind of support, and in doing so, you can always be confident that it's making an incredibly positive difference to the way in which they feel and the way in which they're going to be able to get on with their lives and contribute to the country as a whole.
We thank you so much for your time and we appreciate your insights. Good luck with this incredibly important work.
Thank you, and thanks for your continued interest in the issue. It's really important.